All right, true or false? Jesus' first sign was to make water into wine. True or false? Somebody said true. Somebody said false. Let me see by showing of hands. Was that Jesus' first sign? If you believe true, raise your hand, please. If you believe not, somebody said first sign. Yes, absolutely. I'm glad you got that. The word miracle is non-existent, actually, in the book of John, in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, every miracle we call that Jesus performed, according to Johannine literature, it's called a sign. And a sign is something that is not a thing in itself. It's always showing something ahead, something to come. So every miracle of Jesus as we speak that is presented in the Gospel of John as a sign is providing a form and illustration of something greater that is yet to come. A good example of that is that when you're driving on the freeway, driving your kids or grandkids to Disneyland, when you see the sign saying Disneyland, you don't stop there and wait for Mickey Mouse, do you? You keep on driving until you arrive. So the Gospel of John actually presents signs in actually the same way. Every time you see one of these so-called miracles, there is something else, something better on its way. But to answer your question, yes, according to the Gospel of John, the first miracle, as we call it, was Jesus making water into wine. I heard a guy saying one day, the first miracle of Jesus was to make water into wine so we could keep the party going. And we're going to go back to this. There's a lot of truth to this on how we keep the party going. The Bible says that actually, as Jesus makes water into wine, we are presented with an incredible and beautiful story. The Gospel of John is starting from scratch on this very first sign or miracle of Jesus. It starts by saying that on the third day, if you are a good Christian that read your scriptures, when you hear the word third day, I hope that the first thing that comes into your mind is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And on the very first miracle or sign presented in the Gospel of John, the words, on the third day, Jesus arrives at a wedding. Yes, Jesus loves weddings. Jesus loves to be a part of celebrations. Jesus loves to be a part of a moment that is extremely important in your life, like a wedding day. On the third day, Jesus comes and performs this incredible miracle. But it says here that they run out of wine. And what is even more interesting in this story is that when the mother of Jesus comes and reminds Jesus that they ran out of wine, the words that comes out of Jesus' mouth is, "My hour has not yet come." Let's pause there for a second again. Where have you heard the word, "My hour has come"? A little clue, something to do with the third day, something to do with the resurrection of Jesus, and we'll get back to that in a minute. They say that it was found somewhere between 20 to 40 gallons of water in that place, where they ran out of water, where they ran out of wine. And the story continues by saying that everyone brings out the choice of wine, or the best wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. Yes, that was real wine, or people are starting to get funny. And people probably, they were as wasted as they probably could get. They're drinking the real wine. And that's why they bring the best one first. Because when everybody gets drunk in the party, they start bringing the one with a less quality, and nobody will actually even be able to point it out. But you have saved the best for last. But you have saved the best for last. The wine, the grape juice, the miracle, or the sign when Jesus makes water into an amazing wine, that even the one responsible for the party said, I have not tasted anything like it. The best was saved for last. The wine that only Jesus can make. The story of, or the theme of water reoccurs so many times in the Gospel of John. It's almost something that you cannot skip from beginning to end. Every page you turn and every chapter you turn into the Gospel of John, you will see something that has to do with water. If you go back just a little bit, actually, even before the story of the miracle or the sign of Jesus making water into wine, you see now in the very first chapter of the Gospel of John, it says that John answered them, I baptize you with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. And the story continues that the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, this is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose, I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. And the next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. This theme of water, very present in the Gospel of John. There are many other stories, as you know, that present this theme, this sign or miracle, always pointing to something or something else coming in the future. The very next story, as you probably know, is the story of the woman at the well. Another place where there is water. And the story continues by saying that Jesus said to this woman, Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him or her will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. How interesting. Another story you can find in the Gospel of John, among so many, that also has references to water. It says here in John chapter 5 that now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." So Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath day. How interesting that John visits and revisits so many times this story and this theme, pointing to something greater that is yet to come. I invite you to open your Bibles that is right in front of you, your pew Bibles, on page number 900. And this is the Bible verse or the scripture reading that was read this morning. John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. And the story goes on to say, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that this hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Verse 2, "During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from the supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. And then he poured water," verse 5, "into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him." If we stop there for a second, and if we try to picture what is really happening here, there is an interruption on this very known story that we call the Passover, or the feast, or communion. And you probably should not be surprised that John will remind you that something is going to come up, to again point it to something that in the end will be of great magnitude. And I want you to understand this for a second. Is this mic here working? And I'm standing behind the pulpit all this time. This mic is working. I want you to understand something. And I want you to picture something. Most gospels, all the gospels, they actually talk about communion and the Last Supper. But the Gospel of John is quite different. There is a mention that they are sitting at the table. There is a mention that they are taking part of this very important emblem, symbolism. We know it well, what it represents, the life of Christ, his death, his body, his flesh, his own blood that will be given into us. But according to the Gospel of John, the only gospel who will dismiss completely the bread and the wine. Completely. There is a mention that they are sitting at the table. There are mentions that kind of points to the idea that, yes, they are ready to receive the emblems and the blood and the flesh of Jesus. They're ready to partake that. But the Gospel of John will remind you that something takes place. Jesus rises from that table, and he now moves into something else. And my question to you at this point is it even possible that what takes place next is even more important than what we sow talk that has to be the very blood and the very body of Jesus. You know, it's true that we talk among pastors that we don't have a lot of communion in our church, and we do it once a quarter. We try to do it. Some churches, they try to do it every Sunday in other different churches. And it's true that every time we want to do a foot washing, a great majority of people do not even participate for whatever reason. Sometimes people are not comfortable. Even this Saturday morning, I had some socks that my wife said, not that one. I think there's a hole in it. I bought some new ones. It's a special day today, foot washing. Make sure you got the right socks on. So you probably didn't bring the right socks today. But the reality is that for Jesus at this time, the ritual of the foot washing, according to the Gospel of John, this is my own interpretation, it can probably mean something even more important than what is supposed to be happening at the table. Jesus is trying to show something to his disciples and those who will come after him, that the ritual of washing one another's feet is something extremely important. Peter had no idea of what was happening, because as soon as Jesus comes close to him, he said, "You will never wash my feet. I know this is a job of a slave. This is a job of a servant." And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "If I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me." And Peter, good old Peter, not only the feet, but my head and my arms. And Jesus said, "It's okay. You already took a shower this morning. Only the feet." The foot washing. Jesus asks, "Do you understand what I just did?" You might not, but you will. And this is how you should treat one another, should wash each other's feet, because this is also very important. Another moment when John throws a sign, a curveball. A miracle in itself. Have you seen a miracle happening because of foot washing? Have you seen people that maybe don't get along with each other, and because of this very beautiful ritual that humbles us, that relationship, that friendship is changed? But John doesn't stop here. John goes on. And let's see if I can change this slide here. I don't have my phone turned on today. I love this picture. I love this picture because if you look at the table, what do you find there? Where's the bread? Where's the wine? Maybe if you look in front of the table, you might find the bread and the wine. Say amen if you understand what I said. Somebody didn't get it yet. At the table, there is no emblems. They are not there. You will not find the wine, you would not find the bread, but the emblem is now himself washing the feet of his disciples. What a beautiful example of what was about to come. At the end of the Gospel of John, if you continue to read the story, the very same Jesus, when he is now being crucified, he says the words, "I am thirsty." The living water now himself is thirsty. And now this is what they have to offer him. Spoiled vinegar. I was listening to a ministry one time, a pastor called Mark Driscoll. He was writing sermons and stories about the Gospel of Luke. And his church actually sponsored him with his family and a couple cameras and sent him to the Holy Land so he could do some recordings for his church, and he was preparing the study on the Gospel of Luke. And as he was going around, he saw something that caught his attention. He saw some men working by some bushes And this is from Pastor Mark Driscoll. This is not any historical facts here. This is his take on this story. And then he saw that there were some bushes and some trees on the back, and he saw some buckets and long sticks. And he said, "What in the world is that?" He said, "Oh, you might not understand. You're from America. You probably do not understand what's going on here." And he said, "Are you telling me that that's a bathroom?" He said, "Yes. This is what we call our public restroom here." And Pastor Mark Driscoll said that sometimes when people would go behind the bushes, somebody will get a stick, and then they would get a sponge at the end of the stick, and they would just pass for the people to clean themselves. And after asking, Pastor Mark Driscoll says that he saw two different kinds of buckets. One that had some sort of spoiled old vinegar or wine that was not in use anymore. And some of those sponges were just thrown in there to be cleansed. And then to be brought back into another bucket with clean water. So the water could be cleansed. The sponge could be cleansed and somebody else could be using that. He said that there was such a moment for him when he started thinking about the very moment when Jesus dies. He's asking for water because he's thirsty, and somebody shovels a sponge at the end of a stick, God knows filled with what, and shovels it into his mouth. The Gospel of John continues to remind us that in that very moment when Jesus is still about to offer his own life, to end his journey, the ministry that God has given him, you hear the words of Jesus at this time, not like the wedding in Cana, "My hour has not come." At this time, you hear the words coming from the lips of Jesus, "My hour has come." What a beautiful connection between that sign that you find when Jesus makes water into wine. Now, John reminds you that even living water is asking for water himself because now he thirsts. And now the words, resonating those words of the story of the wedding in Cana, when he tells his mother, "Mother, what do I have to do with thee? My hour has not come." Now the very same Jesus pronounces the words from the cross, "My hour has come." And the story continues when Jesus says, "It is finished." After that, a man comes to break Jesus' legs, as tradition, as they would do, to make those hanging on the cross suffer even more. And they say that they find that Jesus is already dead. And they pierce him on the side. And if you continue to read the story in the Gospel of John, you will see that there is something that comes out of the body of Jesus, of his own belly. And John's Gospel says that it was a mixture of blood with water that comes down his body from being pierced on the side. The story continues, whereas even the soldiers now are screaming from the top of their lungs, indeed, that this was the Son of God. And then one thing more we can say, on the third day, we know of what happened. The best was saved for last, as it happened in that wedding. With that wine that was made by that sign, that miracle of Jesus. So when we look at the story of Cana and the wedding, that sign is pointing now to something that Jesus would be doing in the future. And now we're going to be preparing ourselves to go down the hallway in the fellowship hall to do the foot washing. And we understand some people might not be comfortable doing that. Some people might not want to do that for whatever reason. But I just wanted to remind you that in the Gospel of John, it seems that there's something that is more important than emblems. It seems there's something that is even more important than bread and blood and flesh and even wine. It is how we treat one another and how we humble ourselves by washing each other's feet. And just before we go to do our foot washing and come back here to take part of the bread and our grape juice, I want to show you the end of an incredible movie that some of you probably know. It's the end of a movie called the Ben-Hur. And it's how interesting how that movie ends. And what they do with the symbols of water, wine, and how that is now shown to be available for the whole world. So if you can play that little video, we'd appreciate that. Showing that the blood of Christ that came from his own body mixed with water start going from little puddles of water to bigger puddles of water, and the water continues to be expanded and expanded until going to amazing rivers, down canals and mountains. And now this blood, this water, this wine is now available to all of us. So may the Lord bless you as you prepare for participating in the foot washing and also in our communion service here. So we're going to take the time now to go to the fellowship hall, and we'll be back here in a few minutes. God bless you.